Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Jamie Beebe, one of the most successful true crime podcast people in the land. She's got two awesome shows. One's called The Last Trip, which details everyone's last trip that they would have taken around the world and the mystery surrounding their disappearance. She's got Strictly Stalking, which is an incredible podcast about the perspective from people who have been stalked and how they dealt with it. She's a casting director in Hollywood. What's that like? She travels the world almost on a monthly basis, and she's got a bikini company called The Boyfriend Bikini, which is blowing up the internet as one of the most successful online bikinis. It's very cool. And she stops by today to talk all about it. Jamie Beebe, welcome to Do Did Will, the Story of People podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I caught you on one of these rare moments when you're home. Is this the case?
You did. Yes. I am actually home.
That's crazy. How much travel do you do in a year right now? What would you say is your travel schedule?
I try to hit like a new country a month if I can. I don't usually go to the same places over and over other than like Hawaii. Hawaii and like Mexico, but I try to hit like different parts of Mexico, different islands in Hawaii, but they're close to me and they're warm. So I have a tendency to just slip in there for a weekend when I can.
Hawaii. I mean, did you spend all like time in that area and then were affected emotionally by all the tragedy down there, or did you actually go to all the other islands?
No, I've spent a lot of time in Maui and in Lahaina, which is, you know, pretty devastated by the fires. And my best friend lives in Maui, which is why I've spent so much time there. And I was so worried about her during the fires. And, you know, she knew a lot of people that, you know, were unfortunately killed during the fires or lost everything. And so it's really, really sad.
Yeah, I've only been to the Big Island, but I have friends that go often, and certainly the pics that you put up from there look glorious as a spot to hang out. So I'm glad that it's kind of getting its tourism back, and some people are starting to make their way back, and hopefully it'll get back to an incredible place sooner than later. So, but as mentioned, you travel a lot, you're doing a lot of things. This is Jamie Beebe. She is the host of two really awesome podcasts, one called Strictly Stalking and the other one called The Last Trip. And she's also the creator of The Boyfriend Bikini Company, which is incredible. And that happens to be you on the cover there, which is some great promotion there as well. And so we got lots to talk about today. You know, your Insta is really busy. There's just lots going on with you, Jamie. So why don't we start this thing off properly and tell everybody, what do you do?
I do everything I can. I have two podcasts, like you said. I have Strictly Stalking, which I started first in January of 2020. And then more recently, I started my second podcast, The Last Trip, in November of 2023. Like, what year are we in? And in between that, I started a bikini company, and I also wrote a children's book, but it's probably not really for children, but I did that too.
what wasn't it about children?
Well, I don't have kids and I really don't like know much about them. I haven't really ever, it's not my thing, which I know, whatever, but it's just not, you know, like they're cool from far away or, you know, not on my flight, not on, you know, that kind of thing. But so I was learning Midjourney, and I wanted to figure it all out. So I'm like, well, if I'm learning this, I might as well do something with it. So I wrote a book like using illustrations from Midjourney, and it's hilarious. But I thought it was like a cute children's book, and my friends that have children were like, no, like this should never be around children. And it's funny, like my hairdresser bought it, which I had no idea about until I went in to get my hair done. And I was like, is that my book? Like, were you one of the five people on Amazon that bought my book? And she was. And she said that, like, everybody reads it, everybody loves it, but it's definitely not for children. I wrote it with my dog, and it's called The Great Daddy Hunt. And it's where, like, my dog goes around the neighborhood and tries to find a dad. And like, he does find one. And then, like, we get married and we go on this great honeymoon. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it probably isn't for kids. I thought it was cute, but it might be more adult driven.
Okay, so you don't have kids, but so when you're on a when you decide to write a kid's book, which is just go for it anyways. Like, I mean, we can all be 4 and 8 and 10 when we need to be called on to do it. I mean, we don't want to grow up. We age, yeah. But it doesn't mean we want to grow up. However, when booking your travel and booking some things and flights and particular things, do you have sort of are you on the no kid lookout zone? Okay, I'm not going there if it's heavily with families. What is it, March break? I'm not going there at that point.
You know, most of the trips that I take aren't really where families would go anyway. Right. I feel like I'm not going to resorts. I'm not like that. I'm backpacking, you know, somewhere far away, or I'm like, you know, and I prefer to stay in, you know, Airbnbs or hostels or things like that, because I usually travel solo. So it's a better way to, like, meet people. Sure. You know, I'm more of like the back road traveler.
Tell me about the pods. So, it's hard enough maintaining one podcast as this one is. It's a weekly thing. Mine is more, obviously I do a lot of video and stuff, 'cause I just feel like we got to double down on all this micro content all the time. But you're in a space of true crime, and it's fascinating to me, that space, because it is absolutely ginormous, that space, which
it is.
So, you know, I think both of them touch on it, but where do you want to start first? Like, you started with Strictly Stalking, which is doing really, really great for you. And I am very intrigued by this show. So, this isn't necessarily on the did portion yet about how you pulled it together, but tell me about the show, but what this actual show covers.
So it's, we interview, survivors of stalkers. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that don't survive stalking. People have said it's kind of a form of slow murder, unfortunately. And since it's not something that's really talked about, in fact, when I started the podcast, I wasn't really sure. I'm like, what's stalking? Like, is it even really a good, you know, a crime? Like, what's happening? And as soon as I started looking into it and researching it, I realized, like, this needs so much more awareness. Like, the police, the laws are not understanding what stalking is. Like, it's a whole thing. So we interview the victims of stalkers in order to kind of create that awareness and to give them a platform in order to, you know, tell their story, because so often people kind of like put it down. They're like, oh, well, you're stalked because you're pretty. Like, it's fine. It should, you know, you should be okay with that or whatever. Or they make people kind of feel like ashamed of being stalked, which is totally crazy to blame the victim. Or they're not believed a lot of times too, which is, you know, stalking is, it's a pattern that you have to prove. It's just kind of such a weird crime.
And then the discovery of putting that show together, you're obviously learning as it goes. Yeah. Now, do you have experience in this space? Like, I mean, especially even now, like, or has it come since you started the pod, or the fact that you are your own model on your website? And I'm just saying that can attract a certain type of person. So I'm curious, like, since you've started that, if you've now got experience with it, or you've had to.
No, I haven't. So I've never had a stalker, thankfully. And, you know, it's interesting, like, what you said about, you know, now that I'm my own model, like, I'm putting myself out there more. So would I have a stalker? The answer to that would be kind of like yes and no, because anybody can be stalked at any time by anyone. Like, there's people that are stalked by their parents, like, as they age. Like, there's people that are stalked by family members, significant others. I mean, anybody. And, you know, if you are putting yourself out there more, especially with social media and stuff like that, there is obviously like a greater chance of just more people seeing you and then, you know, more people means more mentally ill people, like, you know, that would see you. But no, I haven't had any experience in stalking.
The inbox must be blowing up though, because you're covering a subject that, as you mentioned, it can be ignored, but also like, you must get tons of cases. Like, I mean, how are you going to balance through them all to talk about them? Or I guess it just gives you more content and tons of things to be able to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, we do have a lot of people that come forward and tell their story. I'm one out of three women, and I think one out of six men in their lifetime will be stalked or have been stalked or are currently being stalked. And so there are a lot of people that are being stalked, but you know, it's one of those crimes that it's really scary to talk about and to come forward, because most of the time your stalker doesn't just go away. You know, in order for them to stop stalking, they're either in prison, dead, or they've moved on to someone else. And neither of those options, and none of those options are good. And so a lot of people don't want to come forward because their stalker is still out there, which, you know, we totally understand. A lot of people do come forward anonymously and tell their story for safety, because their stalker is still out there. And, you know, so it is difficult to find people that want to talk about it. But at the same time, a lot of people that do come out and talk about it, they feel better about, you know, being able to tell their story and help other people. And also a lot of those people that have been stalked, they start becoming advocates for other people, because it's so hard for people to stand up for themselves against their stalker and to like be that squeaky wheel at the police station every day being like, and then this happened and then this happened. You know, it's not like one of those crimes where like, okay, this person came and stabbed me, now arrest them. You know, it happens over time, and it's so crazy about like that.
You have a second pod, The Last Trip. Dive into a little bit about that. And this is a very intriguing one as well. I mean, this space is incredible, and you must be fascinated with this space as well.
Yeah, I mean, that one kind of came about because I love traveling so much and I love true crime. So what I was doing when I would book my trips, I'd be like, oh, I wonder like who, you know, if there's a missing person here, like I'll keep my eyes open, or like, is there a crazy murder here?
Yeah.
So I would be doing all this research before my trips anyway. So I'm like, if I'm looking at this and doing this, like somebody else out there must think this is interesting too, at least. Sure. I hope that's kind of how I do all my things, is like, if I think it's cool, then I mean, like, I'm not that unique, like there's other people that are gonna think the way that I think, I hope. So if I think it's cool, then I'll do it, because somebody else will hopefully think it's cool too. So yeah, I research cases of missing and murdered people that were on vacation and traveling, and then that's, you know, I do more than just the crime case. You know, I like to talk about the place that they went missing or murdered at, you know, and tell like cool stuff to go there. I've been to a lot of the places, or, you know, give tips about what to do or not to do if you're there, and how to stay alive, stay safe on vacation.
Well, or in just in business and travel. I mean, holy moly, I've been to some wonderful places in the world, but I've also been you know, I had my own experience in Barcelona years ago on tour.
Really?
with a group, with a band, an artist, and we all did like an artist dinner, and we were walking away from the restaurant, and one of the people had fallen back and was just on their phone. And there's sort of, you know, there's rules going into some of these places where it's like, hey, you gotta keep an eye out, or whatever, gotta keep an eye on the political scene, etc. And we just heard this yell, and we looked back, and it might have only been maybe 50 meters or something behind us. And that person had already been beaten up, robbed, passport taken, and they were a bloody mess. And it was just like that. And people don't, they just look at the building and look at this, and they just get caught up in the scenery of where they are in the world, as romantic as it is or as wonderful it is. And then there's this underlying thing in every single city, not just in Barcelona or Mexico or anything. It's in New York, it's in LA, it's in Toronto, it's all over the place. But wow, you know, people really got to be careful out there. So I think that's going to be extremely informative listen for people. Is that?
Yeah, and you know, different places have kind of like different crimes that people should watch out for too. Like Barcelona is known for getting your stuff stolen, for getting robbed when you're walking down the street. Like I was there a couple months ago, I probably saw 5 people get robbed in the middle of the day, in the middle of the street, but they were like holding their phone out and like doing, you know, things touristy that stuff. I wouldn't normally do. And somebody would just come by and boop, there's their phone, you know, or like put their bag on the back of a chair while they're eating. Like, don't do that. Like, why are you doing that? Someone's going to come by and take it. You know, there are certain things that you have to think about. Whereas like Australia has very few robberies. Australia is like super safe in that way, but like there's other things to watch out for, you know, snakes, like the fact that every spiders.
Single thing in the planet will, every single thing in the world will kill you down there in some capacity. It's great.
I mean, a lot of that, but also like most places that you're going to go in Australia, like you're not going to run into any of the wildlife that's going to kill you, but I would be like, I'm headed to the outback. I'm in the bush. Like, of course I'm going to go want to like, where's the poisonous snake? Like, or the cassowary, the most dangerous bird in the world.
Unbelievable. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff. I went down to Australia a couple of years ago, and it was like I was just researching all the things that could kill you down there. And, you know, everything but the air. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're the number 10th country for serial killers. We're number one, United States.
Hey.
So, I mean, but, you know, there's other things. But, like, robberies and stuff. Yeah. Like that are pretty rare in Australia, but like if you leave your stuff in an expensive hotel room or a hostel, like you might get your stuff stolen there. But you know, it's every state or every country kind of has like their different crimes to watch out for. It's kind of cool.
I noticed you got an IMDb, a casting director side of things. Are you still doing that? Do you have any time to do that? Yeah. And what's that? What's that space like? Yeah.
Well, you know, I worked as a casting director for a very long time and I did really well. And I really, you know, I really enjoyed it. I loved it. And I kind of, I mean, the whole industry kind of shut down during COVID, which is when I started my first podcast, because I was like, well, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm either going to, you know, sit in my house and drink, or I'm going to work and make money and, you know, live my best life. So I chose that. To work, not but you know,
a lot of people did though.
So I wasn't doing any casting really at that time, not as much anyway. And so when I started doing other projects, I was like, you know, I really need to hit like the more creative side of things and like just do what makes me happy. And so I still do casting, but I choose cool things, like things that are cool to me, or like producers that I've worked with before that I really like to work with. So I am busy doing casting still, but I don't take like random stuff that I wouldn't want to watch. That makes sense. Like I have a little bit more, you know, leeway in what I want to do.
I've got casting people in my life and it's a fascinating space. I could do a whole episode just on that. So it's really cool because you got to get, you know, it's amazing when you get it right. And I love listening to, there's a couple of pods, like when they were talking, talking Sopranos was great because Michael would, Imperioli would break down, you know, Sheila Jaffe and like kind of break down the process of how they casted people. And then you listen to like the rewatchables with Bill Simmons and they'd break down movies and sort of who was supposed to be cast and who didn't. It's just fascinating to me when it's right. And then when people suggest somebody else that was supposed to play that role, you're like, I don't even know, you know, like it's the 25th anniversary of The Sopranos right now. And it's like, oh, Artie was supposed to be Tony. It's like, I can't see it. I can't see it.
Yeah, I mean once you've watched it, you just get used to seeing that person as that person.
It's amazing. One casting question for you, because we got lots to cover. But what's the advice on a character that might have had a legacy kind of show, and everyone knows them as that person, and then they've got to completely reinvent themselves onto a new thing, and some people can do it well, but then I look at like Jason Alexander, who was George on Costanza, but anything he tried to do after that, it was just like, well, there's George, and he could never really get out of it, even though he's a big Broadway guy. There's some people that just can switch over and people will accept them. Maybe Kiefer Sutherland, somebody like that. People just accept them in that new space, no matter what they're doing. And then there's others that are like, I don't want to see them play anybody else but that character. How do you pass that on to your clients and say,
I actually think that has a lot to do with agents and managers. And I don't know if what I'm going to say is how other people feel, but I think once you've done this like character actor role, I think if you want to go outside of the box, you might have to take just some totally different set. Like if you're, known for doing comedy and you're amazing at comedy. And you think that you can do some horror film or drama or whatever it is that you want to do, you know, leading man in a thriller, let's say, and you've been doing comedy and you're kind of a character actor. You know, you might have to take something that is more indie on the indie level to prove, not to prove, but like to show that you can, you know, do this other style or something. And I think a lot of times agents and managers, once you've made this big name for yourself doing this one thing, they're like, cool, the money's coming in. Like, let's just hit it. And if that's not what your heart is, then like, don't do it. Like, it's, life isn't always just about like the next dollar. Like, you might be the best leading thriller man in the world and you've been doing this comedy that you're not into. So like, go do it. You might have to kind of rework your way of doing it, or write your own script, do your own thing. You know, I mean, there's so many ways. Like, if you want this thing up here, there's like a million little paths to get there. Like, just pick one and do it. And if it doesn't work, then just go pick the other one. Like, there's a solution to everything.
How do you fit it in to your schedule?
How do you fit it into your schedule?
You personally, how do you fit in that on top of it?
You know, honestly, I quit drinking like a year ago. And I wasn't really drinking a lot before that. I wasn't really drinking too much before that, to be honest. It just wasn't, but I was drinking enough to where like on a drinking night with my friends, like I would, you know, we'd do happy hour, like 5 o'clock. I'd be drinking and out, just like doing nothing with my life from like five till what, two or whatever. And then I'm not waking up again until like 10 a.m., 11, you know, and then I'm slow. And I'm like, this cannot be my life. Like I'm wasting just so many hours doing drinking. Like, it seems so pointless. So I quit doing that.
it really adds hours to the day.
It does, you know, and I don't date. I haven't dated. I won't say I don't date. I would like to. I haven't dated. I've been single for 4 years. And I also took like the last couple of years off of dating. I've tried, I've given it a good shot, but again, like, it's just not working for me where I want it to work. So I just kind of keep putting it on the back burner. And if you're not drinking and you're not dating, like, there's literally 24 hours in the day
that you gotta fill. I know. It's so creative. It's almost like a how do I explain, or how do I say it? It's almost like one of those things now where it really sets you up to date next, because you've built all this stuff, and it's like, hey man, you gotta fit within what I got going on. I got two pods, like, you know, this bikini company's about to blow up and take over the world. And there's this, and like, you've got to fit into this space in LA. Yeah. I would imagine that would be like equally hard on both sides, because the people over on that, on the other side are like, well, no, you got to fit in my space. You got to fit in my space because I'm acting or I'm doing this and I've got that. And so the balance must be crazy. So just travel and forget it all.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I found dating in LA is just super hard, because I think that the men that I'm meeting, I guess, like, they put women in like this box, like, this is what you do, this is what you're supposed to do. And, you know, somebody told me recently, like, that I'm not the type of person to compromise. And I'm like, right, I'm not. Like, I'm not going to compromise my boundaries, my values, my goals, like, none of that. And it was actually a dating coach told me that. And she's like, well, you have to compromise. You have to settle. I'm like, do not use the word settle around me. Like, I have my dog. Like, I'm so happy. Like, I hang out with my friends. Like, I don't have any stress, like any man stress in my life. So I'm not sure why I would, you know, change that. So yeah, I'm just not going to compromise. So I guess that's what you're supposed to do in LA, is like compromise and settle if you're a girl.
I think LA is where you put your head down, but you like, you're traveling, and you know, there's Amsterdam. I think we were in Amsterdam at the same time. I was very close to, you were, maybe they were old photos you were posting, but I think they were pretty close at the time. We didn't know each other then, but we were trying to set up this interview for a couple months now. And our schedules have been a little wacky. So, all right, let's get into the did portion of it, because there's just a lot to cover here. How did you do it? Let's start with the bikini side of things, considering we're on the subject of men and breaking up and all that side of it. So the name of the company that you've created is called the Boyfriend Bikini. It says read the caption to find out, but let's call it. Let me ask you, why did you name the company The Boyfriend Bikini?
Okay, so I had been in a horrible relationship with the, you know, narcissist, abusive, you know, domestic violence, the whole thing for a long time. You know, it's difficult to leave a relationship like that for a lot of reasons that I won't get into. But I finally did leave. I escaped that February 14th, 2020. I'm going to think about what year. So it'll be 4 years.
On Valentine's
Day. Yeah. My favorite day now. My favorite day now. When I left that, you know, and then COVID happened like immediately after that. And I launched my first podcast. Like all this stuff just kind of like my mom got diagnosed with Parkinson's. Like everything happens like in this 2 month time span of my life. And it was nuts. And so I kind of like, I didn't have much of a choice other than to step back because it's also COVID. So I was like locked down by myself in my house. I was alone for like the first time. And you know what? It was so amazing. It was like the best thing in my life. It took a minute, you know, to be like, wait, I can just do whatever I want. Like this life is so great. So I made this list and it's so big. It's probably, there's probably 1,000 things on there of everything I want to do because this person had been like holding me back. A lot. Mm-hmm. So I made this huge list and there's like dumb things on there. There's all kinds of things. Like one of which I did this summer, I was in a blueberry pie eating contest. It was on my list and I saw the opportunity. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. Oh, sorry.
You can swear.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Like,
I can do it. I did lose to like this 16-year-old boy. I swear he was like practicing beforehand. Cause I thought I was doing really well. Also like it was gross. Don't ever like, I don't want to say don't do a blueberry pie eating contest, but oh my God.
Did you research Stand By Me before that?
I love that movie. I know. I mean, I would have done any kind of pie, but yeah, so I made this huge long list and I mean, it's, you know, jump out of a plane and swim with sharks, but it's also like little things, you know, like go see every museum in LA, like all this stuff. So and one of those things was to start a bikini company because it was one of the things that has just been on my mind forever and ever. And I was really excited. So when I started it, I named it The Boyfriend Bikini because it was something that my ex was always like, oh, you're dumb. Like, you can't do that, whatever. You know, it was a horrible relationship. And so, and I was going to do it kind of in a negative way. I was actually going to call it the ex-boyfriend, like, and I was very negative about it. And I was talking to my friend and she's like, something that you wanted your whole, like for so many years, you've been talking about this and you want to name it like, and be negative about it and put it in this negative space, like this thing you're looking forward to. And I was like, wow, like you're right. And you know, it kind of changed like my outlook on a lot of things. Like, I don't want to put anything in a negative space. And I think like I had thought like that for a long time. And so I turned it all around and I called it The Boyfriend Bikini. And I name each one after a positive male influence in my life. You know, amazing. Like there's one named after my dad and my brother, my dog. My dog is a boy. You know, and various other boyfriends that were great and, you know, friends, the guy friends that I've had. And each one like comes with a little story about like the type of person that I named it after. I don't actually name names, although they all kind of know who they are.
Sure.
and then, you know, part of the proceeds goes to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And that was kind of like my little way of saying fuck you to my ex. Nice. Rather than like basing this whole negative thing on this horrible relationship I had.
So in that particular case, when you... before you launch it or as you launch it, you make yourself the model. That's also a fuck you, which is like, hey, you know, this isn't your, you know, and I want to word this correctly, not in a possessive way, but it's kind of like, this isn't yours anymore. This is the world's now. Like
he was very controlling when we were together. And so I didn't wear, you know, 99% of what I wear now. Like he would be like, oh, you have to dress classy, which to him classy is like, I don't know, turtlenecks and like blazers and shit. And that's just not me. Like I want to just live in a bikini and crop tops, which is what I do now. Every day, pretty much. I'm like bikini and crop top girl, you know, give me a pair of bell bottoms and a crop top. Like I'm good.
Yeah.
Cut off shorts. So yeah, I changed a lot. I changed everything. I just started living only for myself. Like I choose I make all my own choices, and it's only based on what I want.
These are all the different ones you've got. I've kind of put it on the screen here, but you've got emotionally unavailable, puppy love, the little brother, daddy issues, the rock star, class clown, Mr. Nice Guy, mystery man, hubby-in-law. It's great. Love bomb, yeah. First love, and the fuck boy, which I'd imagine is relatively popular right now in the space. But
that guy taught me a lot. I was going to say that guy taught me a lot. He's not a bad guy. Like, I know that term has kind of like bad connotations, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about a lot of things.
Own that shit, man. And people just, we're in a space now where people need to own what they're into, and yeah, that's what it is. So there we go.
Yeah.
Good on you. And as far as where the space is, like where you are now, and then you have to learn about the clothing market.
I was clueless.
Is it strictly online business? Like, what's the premise here? What have you learned at this point? That's gonna, take it. Have you found it to be successful right away, or was it a grind?
No, I mean, I've definitely sold quite a few, which is awesome. I learned a lot. Like, boobs are all different. I didn't really realize how different every boob is. Like, it's crazy. I just figured, like, oh, if you're covering the nipples, like, you just need something covering nipples, like, right? And mm-hmm. No, like, boobs are insane. There's so much insanity behind. They're all just completely different. So that was like my main takeaway from starting a bikini company.
did you do any prior research? Like, speak to men and be like,
why would I speak to men?
No, how different are boobs? Well, because some, if you've got someone that might be, how do I explain that relatively promiscuous in this situation where it's like, tell me about the different boobs of women that you've been with. That's what I'm saying. You're like, you didn't know the different ones or whatever. No, I'm just saying it would be hilarious.
I spoke to women about their boobs, actually. Okay. No, I did. I reached out to a lot of my friends because, I mean, they're all just, like I said, it's so different. And I'm like, hey, like, can we all wear like the same type of top? And everyone was like, absolutely not. So I just had to kind of make a choice. And so I just kind of built like my personal perfect bikini. And I do think that theoretically it does and can fit anyone. It's whether you feel comfortable in it or not. It's very small. There's not much to it. It's a very small bikini. And that's kind of the point. Like, I travel a lot and I'm just kind of like, well, I would rather wear like less. And in other countries, women's bodies are perceived differently in every single country. Like, there's some countries I can walk down the street practically, be at the beach practically naked. No one cares. No one's going to look. And there's other countries where, I'm fully clothed and people are still looking, and it's a problem. So, I just feel like, do you, and if you can, wear the least amount as possible, then do it.
What kind of feedback are you getting though from, speaking to that point about the different sizes and the different shapes and everything that has to fit into your product? Obviously, maybe we can get into the will side of it, where you want it to go. But what kind of feedback are you getting from women about this product, saying it's perfect for me, but my best friend wants to try one and she needs one that's more like this?
Yeah, and I've gotten good and bad feedback like that. Like, oh, like, this will never fit me, or like, this fits perfect. I mean, I think that's just with anything. Like, I can't make every style, every size, everything. So I just chose one and like went for it. And that's it. Like, and I don't feel, I mean, I get it. Like, especially with bikinis, like, you can have a one piece, a two piece. Like, I think there's probably three or four pieces. I have no idea. Like, there's everything under the sun is imaginable. So like, if you're looking for the type of bikini that like that, it's simple, it's small, then get it, and if not, then like, by all means, go find the one that you're looking for. Like, I have like 300 different brands in my closet of bikinis because I love them. I love bikinis. I buy bikinis everywhere I go. So I'm not only just wearing mine,
Especially if you weren't allowed to wear them for a long time, loving them like, and I just, and I'm sorry that you had to go through, this is my Canadian coming out. I'm sorry that, that you had to go through that. And,
it sucks, but a lot of women go through, you know, shitty things. A lot of people go through shitty relationships and shitty things. It's what you do after, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're certainly, rising and on the rise and doing amazing stuff, which naturally takes us to what will you do next. So what's the plan here? What do you want to do with all of the stuff you've got going
on? I just want to do more and more. Like I said, I have this huge list. This year I really plan to swim with great white sharks. It's like first, like I just really want to do that. but on a business level, we just revamped our Patreon for Strictly Stalking. So that's going to be a little bit more work with like personal, chats and like live reads or live things. I don't know. Like we're working it out. Like there's a bunch of new merchandise that we've been like working on, so much stuff like that. And the Patreon for my new podcast. So like, I'm kind of working on all that kind of stuff. You know, just traveling. I want to do more with traveling, see if I can't figure out another business adventure with the traveling somehow. But yeah, I just have like this huge long list of like little things I want to do. And most of it's kind of random or like things I want to see or, you know, like I've never gone parasailing. I want to sail a boat on my own. I want to learn to fly. Like there's so many things. It's not all adrenaline stuff, but
no, but it's, I mean, you're keeping busy, but you're also recreating and rediscovering yourself. And I'm,
yeah. Well, really, I feel like when I was in my last relationship, like, I really feel like I just lost 7 years of my life. And they were 7 years where like, I would have been, you know, I was at a great age where, you know, I mean, I'm still super healthy. Like I'm vegan and sober. Like, how can I not be healthy? But like, you know, I feel like I lost all those years. So I'm just, you know, good or bad. That's kind of, I'm trying to make up for that. I'm living every day as if I'm working back on that 7 years I lost.
I mean, as mentioned, New Year's, I crossed over 5 years of not drinking. And my question Congrats. To you, thank you very much. It's been a journey, especially in the music industry, trying to balance that. But 1 year in, my question about the sober stuff, and I won't stay on this for too long.
I love talking about it.
But how are you feeling overall about your decision, and what have you noticed that has changed outside of gaining more time?
I'm so glad you asked. I love being sober. I love it and I love it and I love it. Everything is positive. Like I look amazing. Like all of a sudden I'm like, wait, like I'm not gaining and losing. Like I just look fantastic every day when I wake up. I feel better. Every part of my body is better. I'm just happier. I wake up and I'm like, woo, another day. Like I can wake up at 5 a.m. and be like, all right, let's jam it out. Or, you know, or I can stay up late. I usually don't stay up late, kind of bad early. But all these things, and you know, I don't want to say like negative side effect, but the only thing I noticed was that I lost a lot of friends. People stopped wanting to hang out with me. And that's because, you know, and I didn't quite understand why, but I think it's because there's like, I don't want to say shame in drinking, but I was partying a lot, like, you know, partying. I was going to bars every night with my friends, and you know, everyone was waking up late, and we would have these like kind of talks like, oh, I want to make a bikini company one day. Like, I want to do this. I want to do that. And then I'm like, no one's doing anything. We're just drinking and talking about it. And I think when I quit drinking, people didn't know what to do with me. Like for a minute I became like, oh, the friend that can drive you to the bar. And then I'm sitting at a bar just like bored out of my mind when everyone's drunk, and I don't like that. And then I became like the hiking friend. Like hiking's great, but like I don't fucking want to hike every day. No. I became like the Monday friend, like when you're kind of hungover and like, oh, I never want to drink again, I'll call Jamie and see what she's doing. And like, that's not the friend I want to be. Like I can go to museums. I went out to the Magic Castle in Hollywood last night. Like there's so much more to life than drinking. But it was really isolating at first. It was really, really isolating.
It's unbelievable. I touched on it last week when I came back out of the thing. I did an episode dedicated to it, but I've touched on it quite a lot over the time. And, you know, maybe that's a whole separate episode I'll have you on for.
I love talking about being sober. I love it so much.
Because it is uncomfortable for others because they don't necessarily... as you mentioned, know how to handle it. And it also makes people face their own things going,
yeah.
Oh man, she's so, I don't know how she did it. And now I can't be around her. Cause I'm a, you know, I just,
yeah.
It's so tough. It's
one
it's,
of my friends said it so makes tough. People, it makes everyone uncomfortable when everyone's drinking and I'm not.
Well, check
and
this out.
Like,
there's a new place there's a new place here in Vancouver that just opened. And I just did an episode with them. And it's a fully non-alc bar. And you go in and it's every single product is pretty fun. And it was just a cool vibe. It set me up nicely for New Year's because I was going into New Year's a little bit stressed out because I was one thing that, and I don't know if you experienced this, but when in that first year, it's about days and then you hit the first year and then it's a year. And so after a year, I stopped counting days. It was really about, there's the first year. Oh, now yeah. I'm just going to plug away to the second year. But the funny thing is when I got to, October, November, I was like, shit, 5 years is coming. Now five now becomes like this new zero.
Really?
So I was sort of, well, for me, I was like, I was sort of minorly stressed out going into five going, so now what? Because 10 years seems like an eternity. Just like when a day one, you know, 1 year seemed like an eternity and 5 years seemed like an eternity. Now at five, I've got crossed over 5 years. I actually went into New Year's a little bit stressed out about it where I was like, man, do I have this? Can I go have a drink now? Can I go through the process? I was going through it in my head because there was just some things of like, have I brought the tools into my system to be able to work through it? And it kind of stressed me out for a little bit. And it was that sober bar that actually put me into a good space. And here we are. So, so congrats on 1 year for you.
Thank you.
And you absolutely look fabulous. And
what solidified the whole weight thing solidified it for me because I would like drink and get kind of like, oh, I feel gross and I look fat. And then I would like not drink and not eat, which is like super dumb and not healthy. And now I'm just like, I also became vegan in that time. So I just eat vegetables all day anyway. But now I could just eat all day. Like it's just there's so much balance for me with not drinking.
There's also a glow. I've got friends that have stopped. There's a glow that comes into the space that gets projected and everything. And so, hey, to each their own journey, but kudos and congrats. It looks like you've made all this incredible changes and progress in your space.
Definitely.
And congratulations on that. And making the time to come on this show. And I really appreciate it because you're super busy. Maybe we'll cross paths out there one day. I mean, we seem to be in a lot of the same places. last question for you. Where's your favorite place that you've traveled to?
Oh gosh.
That's not Hawaii.
No, you know what? I would either say Cambodia or Guatemala.
Interesting. I haven't been to either one of them, but.
I love both so much. So much. And the only country I felt uncomfortable in, we'll say, I don't want to use the word unsafe, but I mean, I travel alone as a girl. So sometimes, was Colombia.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily alone in that case. I'm with a tour or with and there's a group of us and we have security and there's a few things. So it is a little bit safer for me in that space, but I understand what you're saying. There is definitely some moments where you're like, man, this feels weird. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels weird. Tell everybody where they can find you online. The two pods, and where everyone can search for you.
Sure. I'm on Instagram. I'm feathergirl77. And my podcast, Strictly Stalking, is Strictly Stalking Pod. And The Last Trip, my other podcast, is, I think, The Last Trip Podcast on Instagram. I think so. And The Boyfriend Bikini is The Boyfriend Bikini on Instagram or also www.theboyfriendbikini.com.
Awesome stuff, Jamie. Thank you so much. The Story People Podcast with Jamie Beebe, entrepreneur, podcast host, world traveler, vegan, sober, happy, beautiful, wonderful. So thank you so much for the time.
Thank you.
And that's the Do Did Will, the Story People podcast for another week, my friends. We'll see you next week.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.